statement into the record?
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing for a residential appeal. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2024. This hearing is for petition number E-039-23. The appellant is Russell Smith with parcel number 1-1296-300-0011-002. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. The appellant does not appear to be present. Assessor's office, please raise your hand. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
I do.
Affirmative. Okay.
Following the board will need to weigh all evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The appellant is appealable. This decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Yes. Actually, I think this is an agricultural appeal, not a residential appeal. So the appellant not being present, I'll try to cover what he had in his petition. He's basically saying the properties on basalt and sagebrush with no way for septic, does not have a well, rock, sagebrush, and basalt, less than 1 foot wherever you dig. And apparently he has a 26 by 50 foot barn. And he really provided no evidence beyond that. So I guess at this point we'll hear from the assessor.
Hi. So the parcel is a 3.5 acre parcel located just on the outskirts of Benton City. It does currently have a 1,300 square foot pole building that was built in 2022 and an older 520 square foot pole building on it. It does have a view of the Yakima River. The parcel, while it sits dry currently, it does pay an irrigation assessment to the Benton Irrigation District. So there are land sales.
Ricky, real quick. So even though they pay an assessment, do they actually have access to the water? Is it piped to their?
Yeah. So he pays an assessment, but it's piped to the parcel next to him. He would have to pay to get, he has the right to have water, but he just does not have it set up. So it would be an expense to have water. So that's why, looking at the parcel as it sits now, it's a dry parcel.
Dry parcel, okay.
Yeah. So if you, land sales are kind of hard to compare in our comper system, the system that does the adjustments and all that. So I don't really get to use that in ag. So what we have is I have sales ranging from 3.78 acres all the way down to 0.73. And I tried to highlight the uniqueness of his parcel in the sale comparables. So if you look on page 8, So the first sale I highlighted, I think, is the most comparable. It's a 3.78 parcel. It is flat. It doesn't have the slope that Mr. Smith's parcel has. But it's in a unique spot. It sits right between an irrigation canal and the interstate. It does have access off Chandler Road, but it's still in a not very desirable location and does not have a view and also is dry. Comparable sale two is is on the east side of the Yakima River. It has a view of the river and it is smaller. It is sloping. It has the slope like Mr. Smith's parcel has, and it sold for $120,000. The comparable
that's
sale.
That's a much smaller lot, right? I mean, that's
much smaller, but has the sloping and is kind of unique and has the river view like Mr. Smith's does. So,
now, did you provide us a map showing where these different parcels are located?
I did. So if you go to page
12.
Yes.
Okay. It's been a while since I've looked at this. Okay, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, this one's kind of old.
Yeah, parcel three is quite a ways away.
Yeah, it is on the east side of the river, but I picked that one because it was a parcel that sold just with a garage due to a fire. So it had the well and septic on it. And so you can see the price increase between comp two and comp three, highlighting the value that the well and septic bring to a parcel. And that we're taking that into account when we assessed Mr. Smith's parcel, that he doesn't have one.
Now, if I remember been a while since I looked at this, but I think, you know, you provided a geological survey.
I did. So if you go to page, so I did provide a topography map showing the sloping of his parcel to the parcel next to him. That's page 14. If you go to page 16, it's the geological soil survey. And if you look at the parcel, he states that his parcel, quote, can't be built on because of soils and basalt and all that. But if you look on the soil survey map, you can notice that his parcel is right next to and has the same soils as the parcel to the west that does have a home, a well, and a septic. So that's why I provided a soil survey.
In reading that, I didn't really get a understanding of the soil survey. Does the soil perk? I mean, can you actually put a septic tank on that property?
So I can't tell you that. I'm not qualified to make that decision. But if you look, the parcel to the east, I mean, to the west, has the same soils and has a well and septic on it. So was able to get an approval. Again, I'm not qualified to say if his parcel can or cannot. He didn't provide anything. So from just my observation, he has the same soils as the parcel to the east or west.
Now I know this particular part of Benton City often floods. Is he in a flood zone?
No, he is elevated enough from the river that it does not flood. Okay. His elevation.
So in looking at his property record card, the land went from $1,610 to $54,250. Can you explain the increase?
Absolutely. So if you look at where's that page? If you look at page 7, this highlights his property. And if you look on the map, you see just to the east of his parcel is an orchard. And at one time, this property was attached to the orchard. So, so what happened was, it was, say, when the orchard was sold from the original Smith family owning it, this portion of the parcel was segged off. So when we seg a portion off, we have to balance back. And that was part of that. The reason for the lower value. Then it just missed getting reassessed after the seg. So he did get 2 years of a roll of lower value. Then we said, oh, wait, we have a mistake here. So we had to, we increased the value. Mr. Smith's property is in the current use farm and ag program. So he does pay lower taxes. He's only taxed at a 22,670 rate value.
Okay. Okay. So when did the segregation of that property occur?
2021.
Okay.
When you do segregations of current use parcels or parcels in the current use farm and ag program, you have to do the current year plus the year behind it. And then, of course, current. And unfortunately, sometimes when we do segs, we can't update the value. So this one got rolled in the following year with the lower value too.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
No, I think good.
Peter, Chuck, questions?
Yeah, I have a question on the topog map.
Sure.
Is it page 14?
Yes.
So am I, what's right? We're interpreting this right. Is he's got a road there that goes southwest almost the entire length to that big square building, which is the barn or the shed?
Yeah, that's one of his roads. Yes, correct.
Okay. And then it looks like that all sits up at about 560 feet. And then, so is that road right on the edge where it breaks down? I see a 520, and then all the way down to the river is 480.
Correct. So his parcel, yes, it sits at the higher, he has an area of higher elevation, and then it slopes down.
Yeah, okay.
To the
Is that top part to the north of the road, northwest, is that all flat?
So above, so the north of Old Inland Empire Highway, is that what you're talking about?
No. His property.
Oh, north of the road on his property. Yes, it is pretty flat, but it has a slope. It does have a slope to it.
But it doesn't look like much.
No. Okay. The big slope of his property is from the 560 to the 520.
Uh-huh. Okay. And George, your question before about flooding, you know, he's, 80 feet above the river. So that's going to not flood.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, that was all I had. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Ricky, on your comps, are those residential comps or ag comps?
So, this parcel is a unique parcel. These are considered residential, except the one on Kennedy Road. It still has an ag classification. Mr. Smith's property right now is right between the ag and residential of where it sits in Benton City. There is residential neighborhoods surrounding it, but we kept it as ag to keep the value on the lower side because of the uniqueness of the property. So that's why I'm dealing with it.
Okay. So So you're saying comp two is the only ag property?
Correct. Or coded ag.
Yeah, but that makes a difference, right? In the in your system.
Yes and no. It makes a system value, it makes a difference value-wise, but
Right.
sales, but as you look at the sales, he's right on the outskirts of Benton City. So someone looking at is not really gonna decide to say, oh, this is an ag property, but I'm looking for a
Right.
residential property.
Under, understand, understand. But as far as it's in the current use program, it's really considered an ag property. I'm just a little concerned that you're comparing a couple of these against residential properties, which if you say the valuation is higher in residential properties.
I see your concern, but a person looking at this property isn't going to say, oh, this is an egg property, so I'm not going to buy it. They're going to look and say, these sales, I'm right on the outskirts of Benton City. I'm looking at that is what I want. I have a river view. I can build a home with a view on this. And I'm 2 minutes away from downtown Benton City.
Okay. I so it seems to me we re really need to look at comp one as our best case. Okay.
Yeah, I consider Comp 1 the best one. It's a unique parcel. Like this is considered, in my eyes, a unique parcel.
So, not an educated question, but I assume if somebody did buy the property and want to make it into residential, they'd owe a fair amount of back tax to bring it up to residential property.
There would be 7 years back tax consequences, correct?
Any idea how
Yeah.
significant that would be?
No. I don't. So if you look, I don't know, if you remember George brought up the prior valuation was 1,610 at the land value level. And he only paid taxes on $10 of that. So when we go back, we take the difference of those numbers. So he's going to have a significant portion of the 7 years at that 1610 valuation level. But now, as the values increase, that those consequences will be higher, correct?
Okay.
So now we're looking at $54,240 of difference in value that he's paying taxes on. So I hope I explained that. He's got years where it's not as huge as it's going to be moving forward.
So it's not retroactive. So there is some advantage when they do convert to commercial, residential, I should say. All right.
I
Yeah,
mean
thank you for
the
remembering the pages. That really helped.
yeah.
Oh, no problem.
It seems to me that the issue of residential really boils down to whether or not a septic tank can be installed on the property, because if it can't, it can't be sold as residential. So, and at this point, we don't understand. We don't have an opinion as to whether that's possible or not. So, okay.
I guess, George, maybe I have an opinion if it's possible. I mean,
Okay.
if it's the same soil type as the neighbor and the neighbor's got one, I can't see why it wouldn't be possible.
Well, I mean that's the inference, but
It will. Okay.
yeah,
That's
we don't know that for sure.
my opinion. My
Okay, all right.
inference. There you go.
But at this point, that's really not a factor of the current valuation, if I'm understanding that. So, okay.
If I got a positive perk test on it, I'd buy it.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, with that kind of view, yeah, my goodness. But I imagine, well, he'd have to run in the irrigation water. You'd have to run it. How close is it to city water and city utilities?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that one.
So probably be well water then. Okay.
It would be well and septic for sure. Yeah, I don't know how far. Just I'm
Okay.
not a good judge of distance.
Okay. Jack, Peter, any other questions?
Not for me.
Nope, me either.
Okay, let's go ahead and close the hearing then, and we'll deliberate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky.
Okay.
All right, so hold on 1 second while we turn off the recording, and then...
I see Ricky Davis still...
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2024. This hearing is for petition number E054-23. The appellants are Cornelius and Carrie Swift, parcel number 1-3498-0103-0002-001. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellants do not appear to be present. Assessor's office, please raise your hand. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential appeal. Appellant does not seem to be present. They're basing their valuation based on four comps that they provided. They also indicate that our house was built in 2006 and is in need of paint, siding, floor, and roof repair. They have provided four comps, one of which was a 2023 comp, which is fairly close to the subject property based on the address, probably a few doors down. And they provided three other comps, but they did not tell us the distance from the subject property, nor did they give us anything about age, quality, condition, square. Well, I guess we have square. No, we don't have square footage. And so we don't have a lot to with which to compare this on. So at this point, why don't we hear from the assessor's office and we'll see what they have to say.
So the assessor's determination of value is $706,180 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant states they believe they could not sell their home for the assessed value based on the comparable sales and current market issues. The comparable sales provided by the appellant are based on either 2023 sales or homes of a different house type versus the subject. Therefore, these sales were not considered in determining the 2023 assessed value. For the assessor's comparable sales grid, comp number one is just four houses down from the subject with the same view. It did have some interior upgrades, and it sold about for $100,000 more than the subject's 2023 assessed value. Comp number 5 is located the farthest from the subject and is the only comp that sold below the subject's 2023 assessed value. And in response to the condition of the home, I can confirm that the condition rating is a number 3, which is applies the applicable depreciation that is typical for a home of a 2006 build year with its aging components.
Okay. Question. Now, you said same view or similar view as to the subject. Are these view lots?
Yeah, they're a little bit elevated, and they have the mountain or the hill right there kind of off to, I guess that would be just to the south of them, southeast of them.
Right, but I mean, the view of the hill isn't what matters. I mean, what do they see out their front window?
Oh, it's just a street. It's just a regular residential neighborhood.
Okay, so it's not really a view lot then.
Well, view lot being from the main, from the back, because these are ramblers with basements. So a view lot from their living area looking out towards the back.
But looking to the front, I mean, they don't see the river or anything, I take it.
No, it's just a typical residential lot. They have houses across the street from them, and they do have houses behind them as well. But they're, again, like I said, it's kind of slightly up a hill. They're slightly a little bit more elevated, and they're rampers with basements. So they do get the view of Badger Mountain there.
Oh, so that's a mountain behind it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess, I would think they have a view from there, from the top floor.
But apparently not. So, okay. Could you speak to the appellant's comps? Now, you said a little bit that they were different house types. Could we get into the specifics?
So for their comp A, that's a 2023 sale, so we didn't even consider that. For their comparable letter B, it's a two-story home, no basement. Same for their comp C and D. Those are two-story homes with no basements. And we had, sufficient sales that were ramblers with basements. So there was no need to expand beyond that.
Okay. Do you have any sense of how far away from the subject those houses are, especially B, C, and D?
B, C, and D. Let's see. I can pull them up. I need the PIDs.
Yeah, addresses. What's the address of the first one?
Address of the first one is
2211 Warrensey Drive.
Right. So that is off the same street as one of my, I think it was this one. Yeah, comp 6 is on Lawrence C as well.
Yes, it's close.
So it's not that far.
Just to use rough measurement, Lawrence C, the subject to Rand, we're looking at probably right around 1,000 feet, give or take a few hundred feet.
And Claremont isn't that far. It's kind of in the same subdivision there.
Yeah.
Claremont Drive.
Okay. All right. So they are close, but it's the different house type that really sets them apart. Okay. All right. Okay. Peter, Chuck, questions?
So just one comment. When I look at assessor's comp 2, I would think that has a view, so it would get a discount in my thinking, just knowing that neighborhood a little bit. And then a different comment was when I looked at the valuation, it was interesting that the prior valuation was lower than the purchase price of the
of the residents. Bought it for $495,000, and anyway, it's a little higher than, but that was just more, yeah, versus 466. So kind of lucked out getting the lower value before. So,
yeah. So I see these are $110,000 lots. What sets them apart from the $70,000 and $90,000 lots we see in other neighborhoods?
So when we were looking at the sales for the area, and we're extracting based off of the sales, the land values, so it was just warranted in that area. It just demanded a higher value compared to some of the others. And there were some, and speaking to the Meadow Hills comp too, those, there were some recent sales right along there at 120,000, some land sales. So that demanded that that little pocket that off Meadow Hills demanded the $120,000 value.
Okay.
Yes, and that comp too, it has a partial view that's from the upper level there, the main living area above the basement.
Okay. Chuck, anything?
No, I don't think so.
Hey, Peter, anything else?
I'm good.
Okay, I think we got it. Let's go ahead and close the hearing. Excuse the assessor and we'll deliberate. Okay. Well, again, I don't think.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2024. This hearing is for petition number E-058-23. The appellants are Lawrence and Sonia Yearsley. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As the clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential appeal. We're allowing about a little over half an hour for this appeal. The first part of the of this time will be used by the appellant to present their case. I'd like you to limit it to about 10 minutes or so. Then we'll hear from the assessor. We'll have some give and take questions, and then we'll close the hearing and deliberate. So, Mr. Yearsley, you may start.
I don't know that I have a lot of information to give. I sent in the information when I filed the appeal about the same time that we received the information from the assessor on the new assessment for our property. we were going through a home equity loan through our through GISA or HAPO, I think GISA,
Lisa.
through GISA. They did an appraisal on our home, and there was quite a bit of discrepancy between what the county assessor appraised our house at versus what the credit union appraised our house at through their appraisal process. And I sent that in. I think they came in about $675,000. And I sent in the as part of my evidence the entire packet that they had put together and the homes that they used for comparable value. And so I think ours was appraised at 759 or 750 somewhere in that neighborhood versus the 675, 680 from GISA. And so that is just quite a bit of difference. And so I filed the appeal. The information that I had, I submitted to the board. And so that's why we're here today.
Okay, I see that you submitted four properties, three of which are after the assessment date. So it's hard for us to consider those without having other information. For example, you tell us the land size, but you haven't told us the square footage of the comparable houses, the construction type, the quality, age, things like that. So it makes it
Oh,
very hard for us to do that.
understood. And yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but no,
No,
understood.
that's okay.
No, I tried to find some of the houses that through the appraisal that we got from GISA, and I thought I had submitted that information, but I was looking for comparable houses to ours. Ours is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath with a bonus room on a fairly sized lot. I apologize if that information wasn't included.
Yeah, if you go to the GISA package, for instance, well, first of all, just a quick comment on the GISA package. What they're doing is a collateralization assessment, not really a market assessment. They're just trying to see if you default on your loan, could they get their money back? And that's really what theirs is for.
Right.
They don't really have page numbers, at least not on my copy. But if you go back to their comps, in the middle of their page where they list a whole bunch of addresses and sales and values, there are a number of 2022 houses there, but I don't know that. And they show the distance from your home.
Number 15 on that page, George, is one of the comps that the appellant used, number A.
Okay.
Gives a little more information.
Little more information, but
Then I did try to go to the county to look up information on that home and on those comps and provide it. So I provided all the information I could on those homes
okay,
or
so
that
we
I was
have
able to find as part of that
year built,
process,
so that's
the appeal
age. We have
process.
lot size, square footage. Okay.
Did we lose him?
George, number 12 is comparable to their number B, except that it's again the sale is in 23, so that doesn't really help us.
Oh, there we go. Okay. For some reason, my screen blanked out. I didn't see
Yeah.
anybody, didn't hear anybody. So, okay.
So did ours.
Okay. Let's hear from the assessor at this point. So why don't you guys go ahead and do your presentation, then we'll circle back.
So the assessor's determination of value is $752,500 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant states that they're going through the process of a home equity loan and the market value determined by the lending institution was significantly lower than the 2023 assessed value. So we appreciate the market analysis that they submitted. We did review it. However, with the comparable sales that were provided by the appellant, they included 2023 sales and a 2022 sale of a home of a different house type versus the subject. When reviewing that list of the comparables in the lender's analysis, only comparables 10 and 11 were of the same house type. They are one stories as well, and they're 2022 sales. But we had sufficient sales closer to the build year, the 2017 build year of the subject. So these were not used, as in that they were much newer or older than the subject. So while those sales would have been used for the overall neighborhood analysis for the comparable sales grid here, they weren't included in the sales grid for the assessor's office.
And I think.
So the subject's assessed value, if you look at the comparable sales grid, it's in line with the lower end of the estimated value range. It's most like comparable number one, that's located just down the street. It's the same size, similar size and same age. And it's a lot with no view.
I don't know.
What, can you speak to why these are $150,000 lots?
Again, based off of sales data and extracting from the sales, the improvements, we landed at the $150,000 rate for the land. If it's considered a non-view lot, those with views, you know, were set at a higher rate.
Or these are view lots or non-view lots?
So these are valued as non-view lots. However, the subject, they are located, they are backed up to a vineyard at the far end of it. So they have a partial view, but we really don't consider that to be a view because we just assume in the near future that's going to end up being developed as we've seen historically.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't consider that a view lot.
Yeah.
So if you look at some of the other comps, like if you go back to the GISA listing and you said 10 and 11 were the most comparable, what can you tell us about those properties? And is there some reason you didn't use them? They're 2022 sales.
Right, because we had sufficient sales that were closer in line with the same age as the subject that we didn't need to expand the build year to include those.
Okay, yeah, one's a 2009 construction, one's a 2022, which is close. Yeah, let's see, what about the year comps? What's the
Our age comps, of the comps? They range from 2011 to 2017. And the subject is a 2017. Let's
see, let's just look at comp 10. It's a 2022 house, so it's a little newer. It sold for 730. I think that's what it is. Yeah. Okay, so it looks like based on your comps and even looking at that one GISA comp, His valuation sort of falls in the middle of that range. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's falling within in the lower end of the range when it comes to the comparable cells that are similar in size and age on our grid. It's falling on that lower end of the estimated range.
On the comps from GISA though, we're not even close, right? The discrepancy is quite significant.
Well, yeah, part of the problem is you haven't given us any information as to, well, I guess, did all of these come off the GISA comps? Or yes. Did you find these?
Okay. No, I think I just scouted and looked for homes that I viewed that were similar to
our home. The main problem is the 2023 date. There seems to be some indication based on what we're seeing that land value, that housing prices maybe have decreased a little bit during 2023. But so this is as of January 1st, which is why the assessor is looking at 2022 sales as close as they can get to the January 1st, 23 date.
I know that it probably won't help any because we're looking at January 1st. However, and the housing market here has continued to decrease quite a bit, you know, since that time frame. And I just think that we're way off from what the true market value of my home is versus what the county assessor, just based on, you know, everything that I can find and comps in our local area. Unfortunately, you know, I don't have the same time frame for comps that they used at that particular time.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the problem. That's something we're going to have to consider. But, you know, as you indicate, and it's sort of my belief, too, that values in this area have sort of decreased since the start of 2023.
Significantly, so.
You say significant. I don't know, but
well, just so. Based on if you go to and I did a little bit of research. So if you go to like Redfin or if you go to Zillow or any of those other house sites, I'm about anywhere from 700 to 720 range right now on the value of my home. And then when you look at the data, it states that there's about a 6% difference in the Tri-Cities where.
Right.
Where they're were overestimated by Zillow, by Redfin, about by 6% in our local Tri-Cities economy. So that would put the value of my home, if I subtract that 6% off of what that value is, roughly, if I were to sell this house today, I would probably be around the $700,000 range, just to give you some context right. as to where we're. And so being valued at $752,000, that's $50,000 more than what my house currently is
right. Understand that, but what they're looking at for this, the state decrees that you have it as of a given date,
right?
And that's, and that date is for the January 1st of 23 for taxes payable in 24.
Yep.
So if as you say your house value is coming down, then when you see your next assessment as of 1/1/24 for taxes payable in 25, theoretically it should come down. But this is as of a specific date and time.
No, understood. And I feel that I can't remember when I got the appraisal from the lending institution, but it was around the same time frame. It might have been just barely past that time frame, but it was within that same time frame, and so I would ask the board to take that into consideration when you're making a decision.
Well, Peter, can you speak to GISA standards as far as when they do appraisals?
You know, they don't let me in at that lower level, so
I don't know that detail,
George.
But okay.
I guess what I'm curious about is the date of the appraisal.
I was having trouble finding that.
I thought it was quite.
It's on the first page of the document. It is September
5th, 2023, I believe, if I recall.
Yeah, oh, okay. And I had seen that, but are you saying that appraisal was actually done quite a bit before that, because
oh no, I'm sorry, I must have been, it's been a while later. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I apologize. It's been a little while since I put the packet together, so my dates are a little off. If the appraisal on states it was in September, then it would probably was done in September.
Okay. Well, again, that's the same problem.
Yeah, that's unfortunately that is tough for us, because we're supposed to base it on January 1st, and 9 months later, the county would not be able to consider that. And I don't know that much about Zillow on that, but it would be nice if there was some way you could go back and get values as of the first of the year.
Yeah, that was difficult to do even then. By the time we got the appraisal from the county, that, you know, time frame had already passed. So it was kind of difficult to go back in time and show. And so as soon as we got the appraisal from the county and seeing that they reassessed our property value, we started looking at comps and trying to figure out how to go about doing that. It proved to be difficult. So we got the best information that we had. So I understand the limitations of the board, but I would ask that you guys do your best to.
Well, let me give you just a little background on comps. So if you're doing it as a 1-1 of a given year, you want to look at the most recent prior sales. So in this case, it's 1/1/23. So you'd want to be looking mostly at 2022 sales. If you can't find enough, then you can go back into 21. But you want to look for houses that are similar age, similar square footage, similar construction type, another single floor or rambler with basement or two story or whatever type, similar quality.
Yep, just no, I understand
all that. But then that's what we would need to be able to say, well, is your house, did the assessor then mischaracterize your house in some fashion? But we don't know that at this point, so.
Understood.
Okay. Do you have any comments on the assessor's report?
I don't have any comments on the report.
Okay.
Other than there was just a big discrepancy between.
Right. Yeah. Peter, Chuck, any questions?
I don't think so.
Okay. Any final comments from either side?
No, none from the appellants.
Okay. Assessor, do you have any final comments?
No additional comments here.
Okay. Let's go ahead and close the hearing, and then we will deliberate.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. Thanks for your consideration.
Start recording here. Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2024. This hearing is for petition number E-062-23. The appellant is Jeremy Cooper. Parcel number is 1-0797-308-0000-005. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commission. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and the testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellant and assessor's office. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay. Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential appeal. Try to keep it to about a half an hour. The first will allow about 10 minutes for the appellant to present their case, about 10 minutes for the assessor to present their case. We'll have 5 minutes for discussion here and there, might be interrupted, but and then we'll close and deliberate. So with that, Mr. Cooper, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. I would like to just share my screen here, if that's allowed. Can you all see my screen here?
Yes.
So
fine, as long as this has been presented to the board as a part of your packet, then you're
able
to
share. Yeah, that looks like
perfect.
Yeah, I submitted this out of time. You know, I'm not an appraiser. I'm not a real estate agent. I'm not in the market every day like you all are, but I am a homeowner and I do have a budget. I do have a family. And so that's really the crux of my argument is when I purchased this house, I was on a very strict budget. You know, I was approved for a loan and I have property taxes. I have insurance that all go into that monthly budget. And all of these factors have risen in cost over the past 2 years since I've owned the home, to the point where I believe that it's becoming difficult for me to own the home that I bought 2 years ago because of the rising ancillary costs. So the evidence that I've submitted here today just kind of shows the dramatic increase in loan payment, property taxes, and insurance that have gone into owning this home in the 2 years. As you can see, it's a 77% increase in 2 years. And I'm really just appealing to you all because as a father of two trying to raise a family here in Bend City, it's becoming nearly impossible. And the property tax increase is really just the final nail in the coffin. If we look at the loan payment here, keeping the purchase price the same at you know, what I bought the house at, but due to interest rates, I'm paying $1,000 more in my loan payment here. My insurance has doubled. And then the property taxes, as I mentioned, to me is just the final nail in the coffin to where I feel like the value presented doesn't take into account the other rising ancillary costs that have gone into my personal budget. So that is my argument, and okay. I will open the floor up for any questions.
So do I understand you have a variable rate mortgage then?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. Okay. Well, unfortunately, what the board is required to look at is the market value of your home, not what it costs you to maintain that home. You provided us some comparable sales, but I noticed that they're all after the 1/1/23 date as of the date of the assessment. Two of them are acreage lots, but I can't. You haven't given us anything as to the you know age of the sale or age of the properties, the construction type, construction quality, square footage, any of that kind of stuff that would normally go into an appraisal process. So. So at this point, I guess I'd like to hear from the assessor's office and see what they have to say.
George, can we verify that Mr. Cooper is still able to hear us?
I can hear you, yes.
But thank you.
Hey, Jennifer?
The assessor's determination of value is $409,730 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant states the assessed value increase does not reflect market conditions as his 2021 purchase price would not be attainable today with current mortgage rates. The appellant's provided sales from 2023 were not considered in determining the 2023 assessed value. Additionally, the percentage increase in the assessed value versus the previous year is not reflective of a one-year market increase It's the result of bringing the assessed value in line with the market following years of sales price increases that outpaced the assessed value.
Excuse me, what are you saying there now? You're saying prior years?
So for the prior year, so I understand the concern. It's shocking to see your assessed value increase so much within a single year. I understand that, Mr. Cooper. But with Washington state law, we're required to value all properties at 100% of their market value. And so that increase that you saw from last year to this year was our duty to bring the assessed value in line with the market, because the market had outpaced the assessed values over the past several years. So that large increase, we're not saying the market increased that much in a single year. We're saying that it required that much of an increase in order to bring it up to market value because it had been undervalued in previous years.
So you're saying, and I guess he said he purchased it in 21. So you're saying the 21 and 22 assessments were undervalued? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. He purchased it, was it for 405?
Yes.
And yeah. In previous years, in 2021, it was valued at $243,850. And then in 2022, it was valued at $337,860.
Both of which were under his purchase price.
It was under his purchase price for several years there. And so we had to, as we did with everybody in that area, because also this was an area that had been several years since it had been an active revaluation. So it had been trending year over year, and we had to just bring everybody up because it had been trailing for so long.
So was 2023 an active reval? Was it in the?
We're in active reval right now.
So was 2023 an active reval for this property?
No, 2024 is active reval for this property.
Okay.
Can I make a statement on that?
Sure.
You know, like I mentioned, I'm a father of two trying to raise a family here, coming in with a very strict budget when I'm buying a house. And one of those factors going into that budget is the property taxes. So when I'm purchasing a house and I see the assessed value is 200 some thousand and, you know, the property taxes are X amount of dollars, that's part of my decision factors going into purchasing this house. So I feel like I'm being punished because the house was undervalued at the time I purchased it. And now I'm seeing that dramatic increase that's essentially like forcing me out of this house.
Can I understand the that concern. Everyone around the county is feeling that for the most part, especially when it comes to even utility costs. You add all that on to that.
Right.
What I will say is I understand your assessed value from 2023 to 2024. From 2022 to 2023, the assessed values, the increase you saw was from $337,860 up to $409,730. That's, I understand it's a shocking increase, but that, again, that's following the market. When you look at the taxes paid for 2023, based off of that $337,000 value, your taxes due for that year were $3,139.59. When you look at the taxes due in 2024, taxes due are $3,381.77. And to be honest, that is a pretty minimal change in taxes due versus what I've seen across the county. I understand it's an increase, but it's relatively minimal compared to other trends that we're seeing around the county.
So just in rough numbers, you're saying that the assessed value went up almost a third, but the taxes only went up about 10%. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's an increase of $241.58 in the taxes. Annually.
Okay. So go ahead with your comps.
With the comparables, so the best comparable is honestly the Subject's 2021 sale at $405,000. That resulted in 101% assessed value to sales price ratio. And with roughly a 14% increase in the median sales price from 21, to 22 that we saw, it's reasonable to assume that a 101% ratio for a 2021 sale is not an overvaluation. Comp 1 was added to bracket the subject's square footage. It does sit on acreage, but the other three comps there, they are on, you know, typical smaller residential lots like the subject.
See, I'm trying to. So that's one reason the land value is higher, correct?
The land value, yes, yes, for comp one, yes, because that sits on acreage.
Okay. Good. Question on grid condition. You have it at 4, which is above average. This house was built in 1978. Could you explain why it's above average condition?
Yes, I can explain. So based on the sales listing that we reviewed, the home has some extensive interior updates that I can share with you. It's new flooring, new fixtures all throughout. New cabinetry, countertops.
Granite. Yeah, okay.
Wood wrapped windows. I don't know if you're able to see all that.
Excuse me.
Can you show us the other pictures? There we go.
Sure. I don't know if there's much of a delay when I flip through.
Is that wood flooring or vinyl, do you know?
That's vinyl.
It's vinyl, okay.
It doesn't look like anything's original in there. Maybe that.
So the house has been complete. Okay, that's walk-in closet. Okay. That's the laundry room, I take it. Deck. Okay. See, and in your mind, that's enough to raise it to condition 4?
Yes, it is. Considering the age of the home, yes. It's quite extensive updates required for that.
Okay. Yeah, I see some of your other comps are much newer homes. Now, is this house considered a split level? What do you consider it?
Yes, it's a split entry. These are split entries and tries for the comparable shared.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Comp 2 looks a little different. Comp 3 looks like a two-story.
That's got a port. You can kind of see how the window on that lower level is right just barely above ground level.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it a split.
So there's a basement, there's a lower level.
Yeah, it's below.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's below grade, that first level.
Below grade, okay. Looks like your comp 4 might be your best comp, but
it's significantly closer. Smaller. But yeah, it's similar in age. It's not updated. Comps 1 and 3 have been updated.
Well, you don't show a condition code for comp 1.
I think it's a 4.
It's a 4, okay.
Yeah. I don't know why the system generated that.
Okay.
Not applicable.
Okay. Okay. So Mr. Cooper, any comments at this point?
Nothing further than what I already stated.
One thing, I in your document that you were just showing us a minute ago, I'd like to point out one thing. You notice that your insurance costs went up $100 during that period. Part of that is indicative to a rising market value, because the cost, it would cost more to replace that house today or at that time than when you bought it, right? So, I mean, that right there is telling you that the market has increased.
Yeah, okay. I can see that, yeah.
Okay, well, I know. It's one of those things you don't want to hear about. Okay. Okay. Do you have any further comments?
I do not, no.
Okay. I have a question for Mr. Cooper, George.
Go ahead.
Okay, if I look on the appeal form, your estimate of value is 50,000. Your improvements is 290, which is 340, not 323. And so I'm wondering where that 323 number came from, and I don't see that specific number anywhere in your documentation or your write-up.
I'm not sure which 323 you're referencing.
Well, okay,
that's what you have in the form, first page of the appeal, petition.
Your appeal form. It's on the first page of your appeal form.
It says that's your estimate of fair and true value.
And you get, and there's a 50, a 290, which equals 340, and then there's a 323 as the total. I'm just trying to understand where the numbers came from.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. You don't have that for me in front of you to see that.
I do not, no.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Any final comments from the assessor?
No additional comments.
Okay. Peter, Chuck, any further questions?
Not from me.
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay. Hearing no further comments, let's go ahead and close the hearing and then we'll deliberate.
Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Should I drop now?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.